Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Howdy, guys. How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
So, Vaughn, right, I was just on ProFootballTalk.com, and I was telling the boys a couple things that it said about you, and Jason's like, why don't we ask him? It might be interesting.
Yeah. I want to get your reaction.
So just throw this out there. You have 4 sacks. First, let me start with the compliment. Your per-snap sack rate is higher than Micah Parsons. Do you feel good about your season so far? You're at 2.06%. I don't know if you've ever kept track of that, but that is your per-snap sack rate.
I mean, they got a staff for everything, no. But
yeah, they do.
I mean, I think the most important staff for me is winning games, and you know, the next most important staff is getting sacks, and you know, I got 4 through, what is it, 8 games.
Yeah.
You know, I had the opportunity for a little bit more. I don't think I've ever had as many half sacks this season as I've had in my career, but that's just what it is, especially when you got other great pass rushers around. Yeah, I mean, 4 sacks is good. I'm two away from what I had last year, and yeah, so it's good. I'm just trying to, you know, we gotta get some wins going.
And you're also 3 away, are you aware, from $500,000.
Let's go.
There's a golf clap for
We're
you there,
in
buddy.
Your pockets, baby.
Yep, he knows.
That's all good too. I think I'm four away from the top 10, and I think I'm 6 away from the top 6
all time.
So, yeah,
that's awesome.
What's the most sacks you ever had in a game? Myles Garrett just had a 5 sack game. What's the most you had in a game?
3.5. 5 sacks. 5 sacks is crazy.
You know? I know, and that's crazy. Right?
You would think they would start chipping, or they would start chipping, or get a bootleg the opposite way, or something. But yeah, Myles Garrett is incredible.
Well, they didn't need to change anything because they were still beating them up and just smashing the Cleveland Browns as Drake May was dealing.
Yeah.
I don't want to I'm not asking you to trash like PFF, right? We use PFF. I like it. But I'm watching that game, and Jacob Martin had two sacks, and I think he's like all over the field. I think he's having a big impact. And then I go in the grades. He was the lowest rated defensive player last week. I think if I'm remembering that correctly, when I looked at the list yesterday, like, do you look at those numbers? Does that make any sense to you? Like, I'm not asking you to trash PFF, but
or you can if you want. It doesn't
I'm not
matter.
Asking him to. I don't want. I don't. I'm not, that's not what I'm asking. But it just like I it seems like
on the surface, it seemed like
he had a great game.
Since he had two sacks, his grade would
yeah.
be higher.
Yeah.
So PFF is a tool.
Yeah.
It's a tool that they use to grade guys on the field, and I think it's a great tool. They they watch each and every player, the whole game, each and every play. So it's just the tool, though. It's not the end all be all. It's just the tool. NFL teams use it, fans use it. It's just a tool to see how individual players play.
It's just one metric. Just don't put that much stock into it.
Yeah, it's just one metric. It's not the end all be all. It's just a tool.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well, Von, we we've been kind of talking about how the season's been going, and
I'm down.
Obviously, you weren't here last year, but as you know, everything just kind of went right. They didn't have the serious injuries. Certainly, the number of serious injuries. Things went well. Hail Marys.
At key spots.
Yeah. And then, of course, they get to the NFC Championship. This year has been a complete opposite. I mean, everyone's getting hurt. You guys don't have the luck you had last year. I mean, Jaden fumbles the ball in the Bear game, completely different than what happened last year. You guys are 3-5, and some fans are getting – and I'm sitting across the table from one. Fans are starting to think, okay, it's kind of a lost season because – you got to get to 10 wins probably to make the playoffs.
It just seems like we're doomed.
And there's so many injuries. How are you feeling about the way the season has progressed or digressed?
The reality of it is we're 3-5. Another side of the reality is, we still got a lot of football left. As football players, you live life, on the edge. There's 9 games left, and I'd never count that out. I've played a lot of football, a lot of years. 2015, we won 9 games within 3 points or less. So close, really, really close calls, and we were able to win the Super Bowl that year. So it's we're in a tough situation. That's just the reality of it. But another part of the reality of it, we still got a lot of football left. Still got a lot of teams to play, and we just got to take it, one win at a time. All it takes is just one win to get going.
Right. Have you noticed a it seemed to me from afar, Coach really wanted you guys to be quicker, faster the ball. He said he was going to pare things down. He said he didn't like to say, simplify it, but just pare things down a little bit, take guys' minds out of things, just play more instinctively. And I actually could feel it from my living room. I felt that intensity level pick up a notch. Did you feel that?
Man, I've been so impressed with this coaching staff and the leadership here. Defensive coordinator, Coach Weird and Cliff Kingsbury, and all of the position coaches, they've done an incredible job getting us ready to play. We've been prepared for every single game. We've been rested for every single game. We know exactly what the other team is going to do. Coach DQ has done a good job of getting everybody going and enthusiasm and the morale. He's done a great job with all of those things. Definitely not on the coaching staff. They've done an incredible job getting us ready to go each and every week.
And Von, do you feel encouraged with getting some takeaways in this past game? Lattimore had a pick, Bobby Wagner had a pick, and then you see some of the other performances across the defense. We talked about Jacob Martin. Johnny Newton actually had a good game, had a sack, 2 quarterback hits. So there are some encouraging signs there.
That was part of our goals is to have 2 takeaways, and you know, we got them early. Coach, like I said, man, Coach DQ and, you know, the guys, they've done an incredible job getting us ready to go and getting us motivated, having the morale high, and, you know, just having everybody ready to go. They've done an incredible job with that.
You know, it's incredibly difficult. We talked about it leading up to the game, but playing Patrick Mahomes, it seemed like there were times where your scheme was solid, but he just made plays kind of off platform. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, yeah. That first half, we did an incredible job. And I think that carried over from the type of week that we had. We had a really good week last week. You know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we practiced really, really well. Went into that game, first half, it was everything that we could have hoped it would be. You know, second half, they got the ball first. You know, they were going to make some plays. They were able to make some plays, got them down to a fourth and two on the goal line. That play was just a tough play. I was supposed to speed the power, and I ended up getting rushing up the field, and Patrick Mahomes was able to step underneath and kind of roll out, and he was able to find Kareem Hunt. And if I could just get a little bit, like, you know, we call it a cage rush. If I could just get a little bit of speed to power, maybe keep him in the pocket, who knows what that play would look like. But that was really the start of the storm. The very next play that we had was the muff kickoff return that went off, that went out at the 2 yard line, and it just kind of snowball effect after that. So, you know, I kind of beat myself up over that. I've been in tight situations like that before, and I'm excited to respond. But that was the start of the snowball effect in the game.
How do you handle that when you're walking back to the sideline if you have a tough rep or a tough series? Because I can't see. Like, are you one of those guys that's slamming your helmet? Are you just quiet to yourself? Like, what's that vibe like for you?
No, I'm not slamming my helmet. That's not going to help none. It's tough, man. You know, you come to the sideline and nobody wants to look at you. Right? It's tough. Nobody wants to look you in the eyes. It's like, damn, like, you know, this is on me. But, I've been playing football a long time. Like, this is my 15th year, and I've been that guy before. So, you know, it's all about a response. It's all, football is a great, you have the opportunity to respond, and I have the opportunity to respond this week, Wednesday. You know, we start today, and I'm just excited to get started on the Seahawks. And you just really, all you can do is really just take it out on the Seahawks.
Talking to Von Miller, he's got 4 sacks on the season as the Commanders get ready for the Seahawks game, though. Take me back to the last couple of days. So after a game on Sunday night, you guys get an off day. What does Von Miller do on his off day?
Hang out with kids.
Something with chicken. He does something with chicken.
Oh, so this Monday night after we played?
Yeah.
Man, I could not. It was late Monday night. I couldn't sleep. It was like that the last Monday night, too, when we flew back watching film. We landed around 4. I went home for a little bit, and then I came to the facility. So the facility probably 6 o'clock, and just got started in my routine, sauna, hot tub, cold tub, got to start lifting at 7. Then it's an off day, so I can really just take it slow and do all the things that I want to do, have some breakfast.
It's like me.
Started watching film on the Seattle Seahawks, watched a couple of games. Went in and got some treatment, and came home about 1:45. Had some lunch and just started watching Netflix after that. And getting to bed around 7, 8. And
what are you watching? Yeah, what's your Netflix go to?
It's a movie called, that's a documentary called Mob Wars now. But Netflix, they do a great job. It's always something new on there every single day. So
I recommend Task on HBO Max.
It's very good. Hey, you're not doing the thing where you share your password for Netflix with people, do you? You don't, like, some of your teammates that aren't making as much cash as you're like, let me borrow your Netflix password, Vaughn. You got to keep that to yourself.
You know, Netflix is like Apple TV, man. It's like everybody has a Netflix account. That's just part of the necessity. It's not 2000. It's not 2019 no more. Everybody has a Netflix account.
And I need to update my file, apparently.
So it's
your friends are brokies, not his friends.
When you're home at
running higher circles.
When you get home at 1:45, your kids at school, because you mentioned before your kids, I don't know your house situation. Like, are you home solo? What's the deal?
My kids are in Dallas. Okay. So everybody lives in Dallas, and they come out for every home game, so they'll be here on Friday after school. Yeah, so they go to school. They go to school every day, and then every day they got an after school activity. My oldest, he just started like karate, so he has his little karate uniform on, man. It's dope, man. I don't like to use the cute word, but he's cute, man.
Old is he? Your oldest?
He's 4.
Wow.
Oh, he'll be breaking boards before you know it, Vaughn. He'll be just karate chopping him in half.
And he practiced all of those moves and stuff on his little brother and stuff. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, 100%. You did the right thing. See, my kid was in Kung Fu, right? Is that what my kid did?
Taekwondo. I mean, there's a million.
I did Kung Fu. Whatever he did, it was
jiu-jitsu. I don't know.
But the problem is, I thought I wanted him to do the one where they kick asses.
Right.
I did the one where they just do things, but it's just like a dance almost.
Oh,
they
like
do
judo.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted him to do the one where he beats people up.
Right.
But he ended up doing
and
the one where, like, twirling swords.
I'm going to guess that Von Miller's got his son in the one that beats people up.
Yeah, I did the wrong one.
No, I mean, what I really like about it is just the discipline. Like, it's, you know, for me, it's not necessarily about, like, the moves or, you know, him, like, the punches or kicks. It's just the discipline, like, listen to the whole command, like, 100%, like, stand here and then step with your right foot and go down and kick with your left foot. And I just like the commands and the discipline that they teach. You got to be able to do that before you can play any sport.
Right. We have a similar path.
What if he is?
Except he has way more sacks than you.
What if he's a linebacker? What if he's a linebacker and he wants to go to University of Texas and not A&M? You gonna let him?
Man, he can go. He can go wherever he want to go. Like that's his career. I wouldn't want him to play linebacker. You know, I wouldn't want if I could pick. Uh-huh. You know, I wouldn't want one of my guys to play defensive tackle and the other one to play defensive end.
Okay.
And they kind of run games together their whole entire life. Like,
hey, Vaughn.
That's what I want.
They're probably going to be big kids.
Vaughn, how good does it feel knowing your Aggies went into Death Valley and made LSU fire Brian Kelly after that performance?
Man, it is. I have been on the other side of all of these online memes and and videos after the games, and like, man, it's been, you know, I've always loved being an Aggie, but we've had some tough years. This year, to be an Aggie is amazing, man. We're number 3 in the country. We got the way they went up there and beat LSU. We look like the best team in the country, and it's just amazing to see the job that Coach Elko and all the guys are doing in College Station.
Oh, they're going to the playoffs.
Gig 'em, Aggies.
Because they're not losing 2 games. At the most, they'll lose 1.
Did you give Jaden crap?
No, I didn't. I didn't. We had so much more stuff to worry about.
That's true. But there was no bet or anything? Like, Jaden didn't have to wear a helmet or anything like that?
No, man. We, you know, that's all good. You know, college teams are good, but it's, you know, winning games on Sundays and Mondays is what we're about.
Big boys now.
Do you have a good vibe on Jaden playing this week? I just want your vibe.
I don't know. The crazy thing about Jaden, like, if he was seriously hurt, you wouldn't know about it. And if he's not hurt at all, you wouldn't know about it. He's so even keel. Like, you don't know what's going on. When things are good, he's the same. When things are bad, he's the same. You know, and that's what you want out of your quarterback. So,
and I have to say, even though that game was kind of kind of a nightmare at the end, but just it was Jaden just has such a big smile. He just enjoys being. I know he wanted to play, but seeing him root on his guys,
he's right there, right next to him. Terry makes the diving catch.
He's in on it. He's into it. He's laughing. He's having fun. That guy just loves football. You can tell.
Yeah, he's that's our quarterback, man. That's our franchise guy, man. And whenever he's going, you gotta play it safe with him too. You know, he has such a bright future, man, and those things are bigger than just, you know, one game. You know, we want to get some wins going. We want to you know, we want to be undefeated this season, but you gotta think about what's best for everybody. And he'll be back, and we'll have an opportunity to play, you know, a lot of football with Jaden as our quarterback.
All right, so Seahawks, real quick, maybe you haven't watched that much film, but what do you see? They've got a really talented, fast receiver, young receiver. Sam Darnold had a really great year last year. He's kind of carried that over into Seattle. What do you see?
And I got a solid team, you know, all the way around. I think, you know, it starts with, you know, obviously the wide receiving core is great. But in my opinion, man, Kenneth Walker Jr. is just, he's great, man. He's a great running back. And he's able to take, you know, those 5-yard rushes and make them 15, 20, 30. And, you know, a running back is a quarterback's best friend. Offensive line plays solid. They got a really good left tackle in Cross, a really good right tackle in Lucas. Of course, you know, we talked about Jackson Smith and the Jigba out there, and Cooper Kupp. They have a great pairing. And then Sam Darnold, he's carrying over, you know, some of the success that he had last year over into this year. And the defense is solid as well. Defense might be the strong part of this team. He had a really good defensive line, really good linebacking core, two good corners. So there'll be it's a tough team to deal with, you know, just like we've had each and every week this this season.
Except the Raiders.
And the Giants. Giants are kind of a laugher, let's be honest.
The Giants have some players. Well, they now have some they players.
That week, what was that, week two?
Yeah.
So, Vaughn, after I watch my favorite show, Mayor of Kingstown, today on Paramount, I'm going to watch Mob War on Netflix.
Yeah, it's Mob War. It's like a little documentary. And then the House of Dynamite is really good too. I've been trying to watch. I don't know what's going on. It's been on for five or six times, and I just been falling asleep. It's really good. It is a really good movie, despite me falling asleep.
Well, okay. I mean, you stay up all night, so all right.
I don't know how you do that.
Makes sense. You got to sleep at some point. Vaughn, always great having you on. We'll talk to you next week. Best of luck against Seattle.
Let's get a win, bud.
I appreciate you guys. Let's do it.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Got to take a break. We're the Junkies. Keep it here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7, The Fan. What were you just saying, B, about scores?
Fred Smoot said he had the second highest ACT score in the state of Mississippi. and then they wanted to give him the key to the city, but he couldn't remember the city. And he got recruited by a college in London, England. They say, which one? He couldn't think of one, so he just said Hogwarts.
Hogwarts, where Harry Potter went?
Listen, bro. Oh, boy, that dude is a fool, man.
I do think Fred's actually very intelligent. You can't be that funny without being very, very smart.
Nah, he just say stuff. See, he says a lot that we just don't know the answers to, so we just laugh at it. I think he just repeats things. Because I'll tell you one thing, you say something good, he will use it on his next show. he will bite your stuff now.
Everything is borrowed from somebody. B,
yeah,
I'm gonna ask you a question.
I'm gonna give you an answer.
Landfill special here.
Okay.
Do you believe the Commanders are walking into another primetime loss?
I think they can win this game. And I really believe that. Jaden comes back, you know. I still look at that Seattle to Washington. It's a long flight, brother.
Coming off a bye, how much does that matter?
Coming off the bye?
Seattle.
Don't make a difference. Sometimes bye can upset your rhythm. Just like a bye can get you healthier, a bye could upset the rhythm you had, too. But, like, the primetime thing, I'm a little bit getting a little annoyed with. Because, like, last year they were kicking ass in primetime. Nobody cared about the primetime then. Now, this year, everything about the primetime, it don't make a difference. They're losing because they're losing. It ain't got no difference to do with primetime or not.
Last year they didn't get the primetime game, like a true primetime game, until Atlanta, I believe, when they clinched the playoffs.
They beat them.
I think if they win or lose this weekend, I think Seattle would be favored if the game was at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, or 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think – but I understand why for some fans they find it difficult, because it is just a bigger platform. I mean, Sunday Night Football on NBC is the highest-rated football game every week.
True.
Right? Like, it's just a huge – platform, and you'd like to see them perform. I mean, what matters to me?
But Jay, this is why I'm gonna just take it back a little bit. I don't recall in the '91 Super Bowl year, any other year, that Coach Gill put more emphasis on the primetime game than he did in the other game. I don't recall Andy Reid putting more emphasis on the primetime game than he put on any other game. And I think it's at that point now, because, you know what, we haven't consistently won in a long time around here. Last year, the talk went away from anything. Just all we cared about was games and winning. Now this year, the season starts off differently. And now it's like now the primetime jinx again, this, that, and the other. But most people don't care. They view them all the same way. You understand more people may be watching and doing a primetime game or a night game or whatever. But still. You got to go win it, because you don't get extra bonus because you win a primetime game. And you don't get any less bonus if you win it in a regular season game. I mean, in a regular game. That stuff is discussed when your team isn't good. When your team is good, nobody gives a damn about that. That's a loser's mentality, where you always get concerned about which game is this, which game is that. Nobody cares about that on teams that are kicking ass all the time. And we didn't care about it last year when we were kicking ass all the time.
100%. Good teams have crazy schedules.
Yes.
Like,
I mean, we all wanted the primetime game. Now we have made a whole – it's a whole little thing about it now. You know what? I still want more of them, and I want the team to get better to be able to play well in them. I don't think it's the game. I think it's the injuries and the team this year. Like Coach mentioned it talking to you all yesterday and then last week too. Trying to find that identity. This team's still looking for it. Going into week 9. They found one last year early. Now they're looking for it. Hope the hell they find it soon. I care more about that than I care about a primetime game, winning or losing it.
Yeah, I mean, the platform is bigger. I understand that. But the games all count the same.
Yep.
I don't think – DQ's mantra of anytime, anywhere, any place is getting tested right here, right? Because it's Kansas City Monday night, Seattle Sunday night, Detroit at 4:30. Then, oh, by the way, you're going to Madrid.
Yeah.
And
I mean, if they're going to add something into that, anytime, any place, when we're healthy, that might be the point you want to add. But he made a comment, and that's what they live by. And you know what? Just because you lose some game, you don't forget that comment. You keep working. You work back to get to that. Like, sayings are things that the outside world promote them for you when you're winning. And then they question them when you're losing. But if it's something that you really believe in, you don't just change it because you falter every once in a while. You know, you may drop off a little bit, but you keep fighting and you keep working to get. You know, sometimes when you got 53 people working on something, and it falls off a little bit, guess what? It may be only 40 people working towards. The other 13 aren't. And you start bringing the other 13 back on, and when you get 53 guys doing something the same way all the time, you start to have that success again. So they got to work on their consistency, because what we have seen this year is a lack of that.
Totally, man. If you're trying to figure out where the problems are, there's a lot to look at, right? Yeah. You and I both don't think they've coached A+. I think you talk about running the ball to the outside.
Yeah.
I've talked about the need to blitz more, to generate pressure. Mm-hmm. The soft zone in the second half against Kansas City, the soft zone in the second half against Chargers, whatever defense they attempted to play against Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think the coaches have been perfect. I don't think the players have been perfect either. Not everyone is hurt. Mm-hmm. There are dudes on the field, and not every one of them is a backup. There are starters on the field that have not been as good. The roster construction has real questions, has real flaws.
Yep.
Communication
problems, to me, sometimes are more of a reason of losing than the injuries. You watch guys, I've been saying it for years. If people are communicating when the ball is being snapped, something is wrong. Because if I'm looking, if you're to the left of me and I'm looking at you, we're communicating, ball snap, there's no damn way I'm in the position I need to be in when that guy already took two steps. You know, I may look back at him and, yeah, I got my head around quick enough, but he already took two steps. So you know what I lost? I lost the cue he gave me to let me know where he might be going, because he might have had his foot a certain way. Or had the other foot back. And if I have to be communicating when that ball's being snapped, that's what I mean. You have to begin to simplify things a little bit more. You know, so those things trouble me more than anything when I see that going on. And I saw that a lot early on. Didn't see it as much in the first half against Kansas City, but I saw it so much in those first six games.
100%. KC... almost every, if you think about it as a coin, it has two sides, right? I believe it was, my favorite explanation of politics, I believe it was Sophocles, said, it's the same coin, there's just two sides, mm-hmm. right? In politics, both sides are playing the same damn song. It's just trying to appease to their base. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe that's gotten radicalized over the years, mm-hmm. but still. You can look at the Kansas City game one of two ways. You can look at the first half and be really impressed with how coached up they were, mm-hmm. how ready to play, the energy, the violence, how they flew to the ball. Mm-hmm. That was, even though they were tied at halftime, certainly in the last month, since that LA game, that's the best they've played.
Yeah.
And you can look at that and be impressed and say, we're going to build on that effort. Or you can look at the exact same image, the exact same 30 minutes of football, and say, why hasn't that been the case for eight games?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can try to slice and dice this thing a million ways. Is the roster's the oldest in the NFL? Fact. Did they get slower than last year? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe they changed up a little bit of personnel and it's impacted something. Maybe the scheme has changed a little bit and they're reacting to it. Mm-hmm. Maybe offenses are attacking them different. Like, you can examine this thing a million different ways.
But, like, the one thing I've always lived by, and I'm going to live by for all my life, once you show me what you're capable of, I expect it. You can't complain at that point because you say, well, why do you think I'm supposed to be playing like that? Because you showed me you could do it. And I guarantee you tell a person, you showed me you can do it, I saw you do it, they don't have an argument against that. What are they going to tell you? No, that wasn't me. You saw somebody else. No. But if I tell them, hey, well, this is how we played back in the day, or this is what I see the other team doing, they have an argument against that. But if I tell you I expect you to play a certain way because you've shown me that's what you're capable of, I saw you do it in the first half of the Kansas City game, they can't argue that. Players or coaches, all they got to do is try to build back up to that.
Sure.
You know? So, listen, there were things people were questioning throughout. I saw the first half of that game. I expect that level of play. And if you don't reach that, that's not on me. That's on you.
Right.
Because don't show me what you're capable of if you don't want to do it again.
I agree with you, dude. It's one of those things that is really, really tricky. And I did All Ears last night, and we do the mailbag segment, right? And this one dude asked me a question. Sorry, I don't remember the question. I don't remember who answered it. But who asked it, rather. But it was like, yo, we have the oldest roster in the league, 2 games under .500, might be selling at the trade deadline. Give me a reason to be excited. What do we have to look forward to? And I literally looked at the camera. I said, number 5, Jaden Daniels, and I walked out of frame. Like, to me.
You could have just dropped the mic on that.
I dropped my pencil, no lie.
Yeah.
I'm going to find you the clip. Yeah. Heather, send me the clip of me dropping my pencil. I was like on some level, whether it's expectations are gotten too far out of whack or people just are so violently in the moment, like, I still believe that we have seen what we have seen from Jaden Daniels is of such high caliber that there should still be
extreme optimism
surrounding the organization. And I'm also realistic. I don't think they're making the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
Two things can be true.
We normally go back to the 91 team.
That team was good.
Okay, but see, this is what people have to understand. I'm going to use another example. Everyone automatically assumes Super Bowl this year just because we won the NFC Championship game last year.
I don't think everybody assumed
Super Bowl. A lot of people did.
I think they assumed playoffs.
A lot of people assumed Championship game or Super Bowl this year. Heard them talk about it. Buffalo went to four Super Bowls in a row. They didn't automatically win the next one because they went the year before. When I was in Philadelphia, we were in 3 NFC Championship games in a row. Didn't go to the Super Bowl the next year automatically. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work like that.
And, I mean, of that great run in Philly, never won one.
The thing you say all the time, every year is a totally different year.
Living, breathing organism.
So, when this is what coaches normally tell players. Yes, take the confidence and the motivation of what you did last year into the offseason where it gets you going a little sooner. Or you may approach things a little differently. But when you come back next year, that's over. What they did last year ain't going to help them this year. It doesn't. Hell, let's think about it now. Seattle last year wasn't good like that. They're balling this year.
They won 10 games last year. They were on the bad side of the tiebreak.
I'm saying Seattle right now is way ahead of where they were last year.
Sure.
Okay? There are other teams who are now stepping up or better than what they were last year. There are teams that were good last year, ain't good this year. It happens.
New England.
You got to find, and like, consistency is the thing you're looking for. It's not, oh, yeah, last year we were good, so we automatically going to be good. Not if you don't consistently do the same things, you're not.
And I think that challenge exists for players, but I think it also exists for coaches in front office. I think you can. We're 8 games in. I always say around Halloween is when you can kind of really start to identify what a team is, right? And I think you can find flaws in how this team was constructed.
Yeah.
And I think it's on them to recognize that and whatever ego is involved to check that and look at, okay, what did we do wrong last year? And this is one thing DQ, to his credit, he often references, it's like a Navy SEAL thing. I can't remember I think it's an after-action report, something like that. And he talked about one of the greatest learning examples in his life was looking at his tenure in Atlanta and realizing what has to be different.
Yeah.
And so last year was a rocket ship for this team. And, dude, there's no rule to prevent them going 9-0 the rest of the way. Like, I'm not telling you it's true. Over. But they've dug a pretty big hole.
But what you got to do, you got to caution when you've had such level of success like they did last year, you got to caution against getting a little happy, a little complacent.
Sure.
And I think that's in every profession or whatever. You have to caution that because you never know. You just never know.
100%. Yeah. I totally agree. There is one year to the next. I mean, honestly, unless you have like Mahomes. And when Mahomes got to take over that car, that engine was humming.
It was.
Like Josh Allen, when he got to Buffalo, that whole thing had to be built, and he got better over time.
Yeah.
Right? When Mahomes took over, that thing was already moving.
See, what they saw was this. I'm going to use a NASCAR. Let's say that NASCAR has a governor on it at 195. All right? But that other quarterback was running that thing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
180.
Terry McLaurin ruled out already for Sunday Night Football.
Oof.
The only thing I like about finding this out today is that this is not going to drag on as a dog and pony show all week, where clearly the team realized he's not going to be able to practice, he's not going to be able to play. So rather than doing this thing where each day everyone tries to figure out if he's going down to the practice field and they ask Dan Quinn about it for the next 3 days, they just said, short week, rule him out, let's reassess on Monday. This was Dan Quinn minutes ago out in Ashburn. This is the breaking news live on The Fan.
Terry re-injured his quad, and so he'll be out this Sunday night. We'll reevaluate it next week to see where it goes. Bum for him, for us, just tough, you know, where it goes. But we'll see what, you know, the next week looks like.
This is a nightmare season for Terry McLaurin. This is the worst-case scenario coming to fruition when you hold out for an extended period of time. You have no summer, you have no training camp. Don't care who you want to blame. You want to blame Terry McLaurin? Fine. You want to blame the team for not getting a deal done sooner? You're allowed to do that. He chose not to do the thing he's done his entire career leading up to the first 6 seasons of a career that has been outstanding, where he has gone for, on average, over 1,000 yards, where he has, every single year, other than his first year, gone for at least 1K and been one of the better, more productive receivers in the conference as a two-time Pro Bowler. And this year, I'm not anti-holding out generally. Get paid. Do what you got to do. But there comes a point where you got to show up to get right. You got to show up to get ready. You got to show up so that you're not at risk of being injured, so that you don't lose days or weeks. That was my fear, by the way. What if it's week three before Terry McLaurin's Terry McLaurin? What if we're 4 weeks in and Terry McLaurin hasn't broken out yet because he's getting back up to speed? It's going to be week nine. It is going to be November. He will have played in fewer games than he has missed. This is a disaster season for the most important player who you pay the most money to at the skill position in your offensive group. 4 games. 13 catches. That is a game for Jackson Smith Igbigba, who's coming in here on Sunday
night. Who you're about to see. You'll see it.
203 yards on the season as you get ready for football in week 9 for Terry McLaurin. So he will go into week 10 of the NFL season with 13 catches. It happened. This is a lost half of a year. Hopefully, only one game. Who knows? Could be a couple more. Nobody knows. If he re-injured the quad badly, he missed a month last time. This could end up being a year where we look back in what could be the penultimate year of Terry McLaurin in D.C. because he only really got a one-year extension with all of the holding out and the nonsense of the summer. And we say, dude, you the whole year was derailed by what you did in the summer. This is just, I feel for the guy because he's the nicest dude in the world. He's a pro. But this is a disaster.
No way around that. There's no way around that. And again, it's hard to talk about what is right now without rehashing what we did before. We were talking to Toby and company in the producer studio during the break about it, and he said something I think is exactly right. Like, I don't care who you blame at this point. Everybody's got their entrenched thing. I blame the CBA and then his agent / Terry for not kind of reading the tea leaves and understanding that the team had all the leverage. So here it is, right? This is where we are. But that doesn't matter. What matters is what you just said. This is the worst case scenario. This is the disaster. This is the reason you don't want to go down this road is ... Well, ... just happened. He's ruled out now. This isn't, well, we're going to see if we can ramp him up and get him on Sunday. Ah, he might have to miss a week. He's ruled out. He re-injured it. I tweaked it, maybe we rushed him back too soon. He re-injured it, and he's already out. If he plays next week, I would be stunned by that. As you said, we just did this once, and it was a month. So now what are we talking? Week 12? Week 13? This is a lost year. That's on the table now. We were talking about a potential big-time down season because he didn't have any ramp up. He's hurt. But when he comes back, he might need a game or two. You're not going to ever get to those Terry McLaurin numbers, which you can book right around 80 catches, right around 1,100 yards, you know, usually 5 or 6 touchdowns. Last year's the anomaly. And that's pretty good. That's not great, but it's pretty good. And you were going to get there. You maybe get back to that pace, right? It's like a 300 hitter who doesn't hit 300 for 2 months. You don't just hit 770 to get to 300. You'll hit 300 for a couple of months, right? And slowly but surely get back. That's off the table now. If this goes the way that it could potentially go for another month where he doesn't play.
Forget that Terry's going to have a bad year, right? Think about all of the folks negatively affected by this, whose years have been worse because of
it. Oh, yeah.
In that building. Now, again, I'm not saying he's solely to blame for what happened this summer. I don't believe that he was. I blame him more than I blame the team, frankly, because it got to a point where I was endorsing everything he did. Don't show up in the spring. Don't show up in the summer. Hold in during the start of camp. I was on board with all that. It just went longer and longer and longer. And eventually I kind of turned and said, dude, are you sure you're ready to play football? Are you sure you're going to hit the ground sprinting and go hang 114 yards on the Giants? You sure about this, man? And the answer was no, by the way. He was not ready to do that. And I have no real patience for the people that I'm sure are ready to yell at me online and call me right now and tell me, you don't know if these injuries have anything to do with him not practicing. He could have gotten hurt anyway. Well, he didn't for 6 freaking years, okay? For 6 years, he didn't get hurt. He played in every game from 2021 through 2022 through 2023 through 2024. Do the Commanders play today? Terry McLaurin plays today. For 4 years in a row, he had one injury in his NFL career as a rookie back in 2019 that he gutted through after, you know, missing a game or two. That's the list. This year, I've got to figure out what was different. Did he change his diet? What was he eating for breakfast? Oh, wait, he didn't practice throughout the summer. And can we not acknowledge the reality, the truth that is said all the time about prep and soft tissue injuries. It's not like, by the way, he like, you know, had a separated shoulder coming down, getting tackled or something. It's not like he rolled his ankle. This is a soft tissue injury that is reoccurring, that won't go away, that needed three or four opinions and multiple doctors looking at it. And for a month he didn't play, and then he came back and played, and guess what? Now he's hurt again. And the real annoying part is how good was he the other night? He is so much better than anything they've got. He makes that insane catch for a touchdown on the sideline. Nobody better in the league at whatever that is. He makes the other ridiculous catch in front of their own bench on the sideline. Nobody better in the league with one blade of grass between me and the chalk than Terry McLaurin, contested with a dude hanging off of my thigh. Hurt again. What a mess of a season this has been for this player. But who else is paying the price, Danny? Jaden Daniels is way worse off without you. Zach Ertz is way worse off underneath without you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Deebo Samuel is now a marked man, and there's no one else in the offense to take attention away from him without you. You know, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt can't do the things he'd be doing without you. So whether it's him or it's the team or it's both, blame whoever you want to, but everybody is paying the price for
this. The point is, we're here.
Cliff Kingsbury's job in the future is looking, you know, less likely. And I'm being dramatic, but my point is, all of these guys were counting on you being Terry, and he can't be Terry because he's hurt.
And again, I'm talking on both sides of my mouth when I say I'm not that excited to re-legislate what we spent hours and weeks, 106.7 the Terry. We did that every day for months, it seems like. But this was my point when we got to a certain threshold of the lead up to the season. The offseason, however you want to define that, that's the time to do your advocating. That's the time to say, I need, I want, by all means. Right? Because the instant they don't feel like you're worth it anymore, they'll cut you. The league is unforgiving and cruel and ridiculous in that way. Okay? This was your opportunity. Once the business of this year started, it's no longer about you and yours. It's about we. It's about everybody else. And your point here, I think it's 6 for 1, half dozen the other, different ways to say the same thing, is without you being you, without Terry McLaurin being Terry McLaurin, the team suffers because you're not as good. You're at risk for something like this happening. That affects Jaden Daniels. That affects the run game. That affects Jalen Lane's development.
That
affects everybody's opportunity to go down the football field and score points and get to where you want to go.
Has Jaden Daniels taken a step back this year?
Yes.
Would he be better off if Terry McLaurin played in every game?
There's no question.
He has been hurt by the absence. Now, injuries in this sport happen. I totally understand that, okay? I'm not angry that Terry McLaurin is hurt. I'm angry that he, for the first time in his career, didn't do everything he could do to make sure that he doesn't get hurt. And in the year where that happened, he is missing a third of a season already in terms of the number of games out of 18. But he will have missed more games than he's played in after this week. And I'm trying not to do this like angry radio guy like, oh, damn you, you're hurt, you're unavailable, whatever. That's not my goal. But I am a little bit frustrated by this ongoing thing of we're not allowed to draw the connection. People get so hot and bothered by this. Like, you don't know if he would have been hurt if he would have come to camp.
Of course you don't know.
I do know that there was a higher risk for injury, according to every medical expert. I do know that the way he did it every single year before this worked to make him a Pro Bowl caliber player, and then he did something this different this year, and he's the opposite of that. He's unavailable constantly. I know that. And I know, let's just work back from the result, that this has gone as bad as it could have. That for weeks we said, what if, what if, what if, and all the what ifs became the worst case scenario in a lost season where this offense has been spinning its wheels now the last couple weeks and is going in the wrong direction. And speaking of a lost season, they have not had their offense on the field once this year, still.
That's right.
And they won't against Seattle. Jaden Daniels throwing to Terry, throwing to Deebo, you know, with the entire group on the field collectively. I guess maybe you could say at the very beginning of the season, like week one, week two, they had everybody, but Sam Cosmi wasn't back, who's your Pro Bowl guard. Cliff Kingsbury is just waiting. Okay, if we get to this week, then I'll have everybody. All right, not this week, but next week. It's week 9. And by the way, if you look at the standings, it's too late. It got dark early. It's over, Johnny. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. News of the day, Terry McLaurin already ruled out surprisingly, just minutes ago by Dan Quinn, says he re-injured his quad. We don't know what that means, by the way. Did he re-aggravate it? Is it tweaked? Is it a one-week thing? Re-injured it? Like the same injury as before when he missed a month? What does that even mean?
Terry re-injured his quad, and so he'll be out this Sunday night. We'll reevaluate it next week to see where it goes. Bum for him, for us, just tough, you know, where it goes. But we'll see what, you know, the next week looks like.
Any expectation of how long for him, or kind of is this worse, or?
No expectations on that. Nothing long term of that we that we're under consideration for. So still early days, but we'll reevaluate it, see where we go and where it can take us. But yeah, too early to predict, just like a day and a half later.
Dan Quinn yesterday talking about Terry McLaurin's injured quad, ruling him out pretty quickly. You know, it's Wednesday, and he's ruled out. Not going to be long-term. We'll see if that applies here over the next few weeks, because certainly we did not think when he injured it originally it would be as many games as it was. Good morning, everybody. Thursday, eve of Halloween, feels fallish. I don't know about you guys, but it seemed like it turned into fall in like 3 days. Leaves have turned, they're falling, it's chilly and it's wet, and we've got week 9 of the NFL starting tonight in Miami, where the Ravens are in must-win mode. This is code red for the Ravens. If they're going to get back into this, they've got to beat Miami. The Dolphins are not very good. They played better last week, but they're not very good. And for the Ravens, who are the favorites to win the AFC North, miraculously, they've got to kick off this week 9 with a win over Miami. A really good NFL weekend, by the way, featuring the game that's really become the best rivalry in the sport. It's not a division rivalry. It is a conference rivalry. The Chiefs and the Bills meeting for, believe it or not, the 11th time. The 11th time since 2020. Pretty amazing. I'm sorry, the 10th time. The 10th time. The Chiefs have a 5-4 record overall against the Bills. 1-4 in the regular season. 4-0 in the postseason. They are 2.5-point favorites now, Max, on the road in Buffalo. The odds makers are falling in love with the Chiefs. But back to Terry. We've got a full show today. Charch will be on. Denton will be on. We'll do some power rankings. We've got a guy that covers the Seahawks on the show at 12. So we've got a lot to get to. But on the Terry thing, it stinks that Terry is out again. You know, I don't have... And I know some of you do, and that's fine. I'm not knocking you for this. I don't have an opinion that's hard and fast and unmovable on whether or not Terry's holdout and missing training camp is why he's injured for the first time in his career, really. I don't know how anybody could know for sure. It is certainly possible. I'm not denying the possibility that a soft tissue injury is because he didn't get into the best football shape that he could have gotten into. But there's actually no way to prove that. You know, it just stinks that he and Jaden have played a total of 2 games together this year. That's it. 2. You know, I had this from, you know, our friend Ian. Ian heard me talk about injuries yesterday, and he sent me the following. He said, I don't know where it is now. He essentially said something to the effect of, this isn't about injuries. This is about a GM developing a bad and old roster. And it's just really not accurate. I mean, you can say that they're an old roster because it's true. They are an older roster. That's not debatable. But the injuries aren't happening to their old players. You know, that's not necessarily what's gone on here. The injuries, their three oldest starters have barely missed plays, let alone games. And by the way, they're on one-year deals. Here's the Ian tweet. Blaming injuries when the overrated GM signed old and injury-prone players is the height of foolishness. Everyone knew this was a bad idea. Eckler, Debo, Noah B., Von Miller, etc. The most idiotic of plans this season by GM and head coach. They got organizationally arrogant from 2024. The irony of that is that, you know, he wanted to overpay a 30-year-old wide receiver, soon to be 30, and wanted to pay him until he was 34. Wanted to overpay him until he was 34. But again, like, their three oldest starters, okay, Bobby Wagner, Von Miller, and Zach Ertz, they haven't missed any time. They've been Iron Men for this team this year. But anyway, look, the bottom line with this is that injuries are, of course, a major part of why they are 3-5. You have to be a knuckle-dragging mouth breather to you know, next man up, no excuses. I get it. You know, I get that sometimes that is the right answer, but if you've watched the NFL for more than a minute and this isn't your first year watching sports or the NFL, you know what injuries are. They're not an excuse. They are reasons every single year why teams have bad seasons or, if they stay healthy, have good seasons. Injuries are number two behind the quarterback position. Like, if you have the quarterback and he's really, really good and he's a franchise quarterback, however you want to define that, that's the most important thing to having a winning season. Number two is health. Not predictable before the year starts, even if you do have the oldest roster in the league. Okay, again, their three oldest players have been Iron Men for them. You want to throw in Tressway? He hasn't missed any time. Has he? I don't think he has. Their oldest player is their third-string quarterback, Josh Johnson. That kind of skews the average age. It moves it up a bit because he's 39 going on 40. Yeah, Debo, you knew, had an injury history, but you didn't risk much bringing in Debo. And by the way, he's been a valuable addition so far. We'll see how it holds up over 17, because 8 is, you know, not the sample size you're looking for. You want to know what happened over 17 when you traded for Debo Samuel. But in determining games and seasons, injuries are no worse than number two on the most impactful things. They just are. Every single year, we know the healthy teams win more games and the injured teams lose more games. Unless you have, like, an elite quarterback. That's number one. You know, there was a year in which Green Bay got really banged up. Their offensive line was in tatters, but Aaron Rodgers was elite, and they ended up winning 12, 13 games, went to the playoffs, etc. But more times than not, we all know the injured teams, like San Francisco last year being the most injured team in the league, and by the way, one of the most talented teams in the league, they have a terrible season. Last year, Washington had great quarterback play and stayed healthy. They had a great season. This year, 8 games into the season, injuries are number one on the list as to why this team is 3-5. It's not because their roster is old. Their oldest players haven't been injured. Okay? They haven't. Von Miller hasn't been injured. Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner haven't been injured. They've been out there every single game and every available play, unless I'm missing something. You know, beyond, by the way, that Washington's been a very injured team, it's more than that with this particular injury situation. It's that their best players have been injured. Their starting quarterbacks missed 3 games. Their number one wide receiver, and many of you would say the second best player on the team, is going to miss his 5th game this Sunday. Your best defensive player this year, Dorrance Armstrong, has basically missed two games already because he got hurt very early in the Dallas game. And when all is said and done, he'll miss 11 games this year. Your best offensive lineman from last year missed the first six games this year. By the way, back to the defense, the other starting defensive end who you brought in because you needed to get bigger and stronger on the edge, Dietrich Wise is not an old man at 30, 31 years old for that position. He's going to miss 14 games when all is said and done. Your next best receivers, if Debo isn't your best, and we'll just, for the purposes of this conversation, so I don't trigger anybody, let's say Debo's the second best receiver. He's missed a game, played injured in another. Yes, Debo was a risk bringing him in, but Debo's not old. Debo's in the prime of his career, should be. Noah Brown, third best, has missed seven games already with another game he'll have to miss this coming week. Your most valuable running back going into the offseason was Austin Eckler. Now, you knew there was a risk with Eckler, but you knew you were a better team with him in the lineup last year versus this year. He's not on the old side of your, you know, age, but he's older and he was injury prone last year and he got hurt, so you lost him. You lost your most valuable run blocking tight end in John Bates, hardly an old player. He's missed two games, and the safety you brought in to replace the other safety that played okay last year, Will Harris, is done for the year. And now Tunsil, who didn't practice yesterday, he might miss a game. I just gave you 11 to 12 starters who are relied upon to make major contributions that have missed games and in some cases are done for the year. I didn't even mention another three, four, five contributors who aren't starters, but contributors who have missed games or are out for the season. The point is, it's not just been a run of injuries, it's been a run of injuries to your best players. Now, the good news is your best player is practicing in full, is planning to practice in full all week, and so he's going to more likely than not play on Sunday night against Seattle. The bad news is he's not going to play with a full allotment of supporting cast players who are really good, Terry McLaurin being one of them, and who knows about Tunsil come Sunday night. I don't get the resistance to including injuries as part of an NFL conversation. That totally mystifies me. It's like, is this your first year watching football? Like, come on. This is a reality every year. These are the reasons. They're not excuses. They are legitimate reasons why a team goes 6-11 or a team goes 11-6. More often than not, the difference between 11-6 and 6-11 is injuries, health. That typically is the separator. And right now, Washington is having a 6-11 kind of injury season. Can they overcome it and overperform the injury situation? They can, because they have the number one determining factor in NFL seasons. They've got the quarterback. Now, the quarterback can't be injured anymore. He's going to have to play these final nine games. Like, there's no margin for error here. He can't miss two more games. He really can't miss one more. You know, we can do the math. They've got nine left. Somehow they got to win seven of them. And they're not winning seven of their final nine, especially the way they are laid out schedule-wise, without him healthy under center in pistol or in shotgun. Now, back to Terry for a moment. I really don't have a hard and fast strong opinion on this, other than the one that I have expressed since the hold in, hold out, request for trade, the whole saga began. And that is, I believe the team is the least blamable for this, and Terry and his agent are the most deserving of the blame for him not being in camp much earlier. I've gone through this a million times. He was under contract. There was no requirement for Washington to offer him a contract extension. They did so because they like him, because they want him beyond 1 year. They want him for at least another 2 years. And they went to him with an offer that he and his agent were insulted and hurt by because they believed Terry was at the top of the heap when it came to wide receivers in the NFL. I believe personally that's delusional. And that's where it started, and it was very difficult to recover until there was no more time, and Washington essentially said, this is it, dude, take it or leave it. And he took it, which, by the way, was the right thing for him to do, because there's no chance anybody was going to give him $45 million in guaranteed money next year if he made it to free agency. Not to mention the team would have controlled his rights via the franchise tag. So I actually think Terry ultimately did the right thing. I thought it was going to be no more than $50 million guaranteed, which the team was willing to go to, $45 million. But they also have a lot on the come. If Terry ends up being the player for the next few years until he's 33, 34 years old, that he thinks he can be because he didn't have the same wear and tear as he pitched us after the Eastern Motors ad sometime in July about, you know, why he believes he's a different 30-year-old and will be a different 31, 32, 33, and 34-year-old than other receivers, that opportunity exists for him to end up making the kind of money. You know, there's a lot on the come there. The team built that into, hey, if you perform ultimately at 34 years old, if you're still with us, you'll end up getting close to what you wanted. But they were never going to guarantee that, ever, nor should they have. Now, that's my position on that, but that's not what I want to ask you. I want to ask you now, do you want to go back to the summer here on the eve of Halloween? And say, I told you so? Or do you just want to say, bad luck? Quad injury could have happened had he been in camp the entire time. And it just was bad luck that he got injured for the first time in his career. Is this a back to the summer, I told you so moment for you? Because many of you are going to call me and say, I told you so. Let me be clear on this. Paulie, who is one of my all-time favorites, really is, despite the fact that we yell at each other. I love him dearly, and I think he's got a great takes, and I think he's smart, and I always enjoy having him on the show. And I remember this sometime in July. He was the first to say, you know what this is going to lead to if he keeps holding out? And I said, what? And he said, a soft tissue injury. It just seems to happen all the time to the guys that hold out for a long period of time. They never have a healthy season. There isn't a lot of data on that. There is some data from 2020 when there wasn't, you know, an offseason and there weren't preseason games. Remember, there weren't preseason games. There was training camp during COVID in the summer of 2020. And there were more soft tissue injuries that particular season. They increased slightly. That's the one data point you could use. But for holdouts, generally in a normal season, there's not a lot of hard data. But it does seem, and when he said that, I said, yeah, it does seem like that seems to happen when guys miss camp. So we certainly talked about that possibility. Paulie brought it up. Many of you agreed with him. But are you here on October 30th, 8 games into the season, and he's about to miss his 5th game. Are you here to say, told you so, and you can elaborate on that, or it just sucks, it's bad luck, would have happened anyway? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, here is a hypothetical cooked up by the diabolical brain of one Matt Myers, also known as Matt Valdez.
All right.
Put on your GM caps.
All right.
Do you think if Adam Peters knows what he knows right now, heading into the week
or just
nine
you
game
got.
Against the Seattle Seahawks?
What Adam thinks and also what you think.
What we would think. Would we have traded Terry McLaurin knowing the
for
way
what?
The season has
knowing,
unfolded?
Knowing that he was going to get hurt?
Yeah, knowing he's missing a bunch of games.
But EB asked a very valuable question.
It depends for what? You can't just say trade him.
First-round pick?
Let's say a fourth and a sixth-round pick.
No way they're going to get a first-round pick.
No, not for a fourth. No.
Maybe a third-round
I'd rather have him.
A third-rounder gets the job done for you?
Probably.
But what about if it's the same as the DK trade? Where the Seahawks got a second-round pick and a seventh-round pick.
Done.
Well, I think that's a...
In retrospect, yes.
The easiest deal ever.
Yeah. I would say yes.
Look, I wish if he had it to do all over again, he'd probably draft a wide receiver. With that first-round pick.
Here's a question to follow up then. It's kind of a natural follow-up. Is the general assumption then that this is like way more than the beginning of the end? This is the end. And so that Terry's a wash this year. I think we could assume that, right? Terry's going to basically do nothing the rest of the year of note. And
then
next year, it's just going to be another disaster, another depressing thing. Like, he's never going to be a top 12-ish receiver.
I don't know that's something you have to...
Well, I'm asking.
I don't believe that part. I believe that this season...
I don't believe it either.
I believe this season is basically a lost, wasted season for him. I don't see him coming back and being anywhere near the level he was last year. But
just
I think
can't stay healthy.
An offseason of rest, recuperation, strengthening that quad,
whatever,
he can get back to being an 8 to 10 touchdown scorer the next 2 or 3 years.
I don't know. That's something you have to consider because now you have an aging wide receiver who's coming off an injury. I don't know how confident you are that.
Now, that's not going to stop.
Not as confident as I was before.
That's not going to stop me from adding another talented wideout.
Yeah.
To the receiver room this offseason, whether it's through the draft or through free agency, I'm going to be in on that. Because
yeah.
I can't just rely on Terry. Debo is unreliable. We know Noah Brown's not going to be here next year. He was inked to a one-year deal. You need to keep layering in talent on top of the guys that you have.
And keep in mind that all of the talk is how old the roster is, so now you're adding draft picks
right.
to an already depleted draft pick haul that you have.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something to think about.
I think it's unfair to say Debo is unreliable. He's missed one game.
Has he been good the last three games? Give me his
okay,
game
Marcus Mariota was the quarterback.
Give me his
the offense wasn't good the last three games. Last three games, he had 8 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. That was a good one.
That's a good one. I'll take that.
He had 4 catches, only 15 yards against the Bears. And then he had 3 catches for a whopping total of 11 yards. In the last game.
Right.
I mean.
But he's playing on a bum heel right now. When the heel wasn't hurting him, he was putting up the numbers.
And
by the way, he's become a guy who's become the number one guy because, besides last week, Terry hasn't been there.
Right. He's been elevated to a spot where
I just think it's a little unfair to call him unreliable.
Well, was
he's starting every game.
Was he reliable?
Except for one.
Was he reliable last year? The answer is no. He's becoming unreliable over the last few weeks. In my opinion, because of the injury, these
fantasy guys like Cakes, they turn on you quick. You have 2-3 weeks, bad. They'll cut you.
I'm not talking about fantasy stats. I'm talking about real life stats for Debo Samuel.
I know, but it clouds their brain a little bit.
I think he played 15 games last year out of 17.
Yeah,
he was banged up in a half.
How many were good games? Maybe 5 or 6?
And he was banged up in half.
He had pneumonia. He had a bunch of things working against him last year.
It's fine. Back to the question. I think all of us probably, if it was a DK Metcalf deal,
yeah.
Looking back on a season which so far seems lost, where he only has one touchdown catch, of course you would do it.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean he's not going to have a good year next year.
He still could have a good year, no doubt. But fans, especially the 43% who are out on him now, they certainly would have traded him.
800-636-1067. Knowing what you know now, the way Terry's season has unfolded, and it's been a nightmare, if you could go back in time, you could go back in your time machine.
Honor his trade request.
Would you trade Terry McLaurin away for a draft pick haul? A TBD draft pick
haul? It's hard because, remember, they were trying to put together kind of like, this was supposed to be a run for a Super Bowl.
I know.
And he was like one of their top 2 or 3 key pieces. And just trade him for the future.
I know, and you always want to surround your young quarterback with talented wideouts and tight ends and
but
running
I guess
backs
if
to make
you
their
knew
jobs easier.
This year was going to be a waste, then sure you would
yeah,
do it.
If you looked
it
into your crystal ball and saw him missing a bunch of games, dealing with a quad injury,
yeah,
going for second opinions,
I'm just
missing games.
Do you have confidence that he'll be the same Terry next season?
Not as confident as I was. Like, I thought he could still play at a high level for a couple years. But this year, I mean, obviously, it throws everything in question now. I don't know how he's going to be able to bounce back.
I'm pretty confident
that he
can get past this snake-bitten year and rebound to 2024 Terry McLaurin level.
I'm confident, but if they go out and draft the receiver and they kind of move the threats around, then he's not going to become as big a priority. And so he may still be physically capable, but they kind of move on and he becomes
his role
is diminished.
Maybe he needs that in his age 31 season.
Well, then he's not, but that's fine.
But
he's not going to put up the numbers that he put up last year.
No, maybe not.
I mean,
he's not.
The likelihood of him putting up the numbers again is very small.
Last year, everything went perfectly.
Yeah.
He had a weird outlier touchdown year last year.
Yeah.
Because a lot of his other numbers, his metrics were pretty similar to what had happened previously.
He's always get around 1,000 yards, but not a whole lot over it. Be right around 1,000. Do you think he'll ever be a 1,000-yard receiver again?
Yes.
Man, I like that. I'm glad you're saying that.
Now, well, didn't he look good on the two catches this week?
Yes.
It didn't look like a washed receiver to me.
I know, now, but when you miss time, it just...
Will he be a 1,300, 1,400-yard receiver? I don't think that's going to happen, but he'd be a 1,000-yard receiver? Yes.
You have to be a priority. You have to be out there.
You also have to be available.
You have to be available, and you have to be a priority for them.
Right.
And it also depends on the type of offense they want. I think the offense could change significantly if Cliff Kingsbury leaves. And talking to Baldy, I do think that they might turn to an offense that's more under center. I think many of the top teams are turning to that.
How many people are calling Cliff Kingsbury when the team is struggling? Now, I'm not putting it all on Cliff Kingsbury. There have been a lot of issues that are out of his control. But I know that people thought, well, it's a lock. He's going to be the head coach after this season.
He was the hot guy after last year.
Is it a certainty that he's going to leave this offseason?
No, of course not a certainty.
I mean, I think there's a good, unless they rebound.
He'll get interviews. It might not just be in the NFL.
He'll probably get interviews.
You have to give me some comps. I'm trying to think about guys that were injured like around this time, and then they came back and maybe like a Steve Smith, maybe had a year where he was like injured, and then he came back and had a big year, you know, like into his 30s. But it doesn't happen very often. I mean, that was the whole argument, that once you hit post 30, you know, your production goes down, especially it goes down when you miss a billion games.
I can't believe we're talking about wishing we traded Terry McLaurin. that's crazy this year has been.
Well, that's what happens when you miss a bunch of games and you don't have the same sort of production as the previous season.
Of guys that came back from an injury-riddled year in their 30s and then were at a very, very high level. I don't know. It's hard to think of. Maybe
to find the injury-riddled year, and I don't know if it's injury riddled, but Davante Adams only played 14 games last year. And I think he's producing this year. He had a 3-touchdown game. It's not to the level of Davante Adams when he was, you know, catching 130 balls.
But Davante Adams is a Hall of Famer. He's a freak.
Yeah, it's going to have to
be. You can't compare a lot of guys to Davante Adams.
Didn't Anquan Boldin play late into his career? Didn't he have some big years later in his career? Maybe not. I'm just trying to think of guys that were older receivers that maybe had an injury, but they were able to overcome it and still, like in their 31st year, 32nd year, still put up big numbers.
I think Calvin Johnson might have had an injury early in his career.
He retired early.
You can do a study on it.
No, I could actually move my hands.
You have a computer in front of you.
Well, I'm just asking if you guys know off the top of your head.
I don't know if Boldin ever had injuries. I mean, I'm looking at his game log. The lowest I've seen is, I mean, in 2008, he had a 12-game season, but that's kind of in the middle of his career. Then he was 15, 16, 15, 16, 16.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think of what's the likelihood.
But again, it depends on what you would have gotten.
Absolutely.
They weren't going to trade him for a fifth-round pick.
No.
But if they got a third and certainly a second, yeah, they would love
to. So, like, in 2010... Steve Smith only played in 14 games. That's still more than what Terry's going to play. He only had 46 catches, 500 yards. But then the next year, in his 32nd year, he had 79 catches and 1,400 yards. And then, by the way, he still had a bunch of productive years after that. Sure. So he still could do it.
Look, yeah,
it's been done.
I think he can certainly do it.
Because he had a great season last year, and he had been consistent for years, had been durable for years, is an absolute leader on the team, super high-quality person.
He's got everything
he
wants.
It's easy to say now when the guy's missing all these games and he has one touchdown, yeah, I wouldn't have made the move. But everybody, given what they had, everybody would have signed him. You know what I mean? Everybody was like, give him the bag. Give him everything.
Most people. I'm not saying everybody.
Almost everybody.
I think that's a little revisionist history. There's definitely people out there who are very hesitant to sign a deal with Terry where the number started with close to a three. Mm-hmm. Anywhere between 28 and 35, people were very hesitant about it.
I was pro signing him, 100%. And I've been disappointed that he's been injured, but I'm not blaming him. It is what it is.
The fan base has turned on him. I think the latest, when I checked the poll, it was somewhere around 55, 45.
Yeah, you got to ask the question again.
Junks Radio. The question was, is Terry McLaurin still beloved in Washington? 45% have voted no.
That's crazy.
Dude, that's crazy.
You know what, last year, if you would ask that last year, at the end of the year?
100%. 100%
would have loved him.
Right. Wouldn't have been one fan that said no.
Yeah, you can't begrudge a guy for trying to get the most money he can get. I can't. Let's go to Rick in D.C. Rick!
How you doing?
Hey, man.
What's up, Rick?
All right. No, I would have not kept him. Simply because Adam Peters has to come to the bold reality. What does he want this team to be? An over-the-hill type team? Or does he want them to be a young, aggressive team? And therefore, we as fans, we tend to put our hearts into a play and say,
for sure,
oh, you know, he's Terry. But, hey, you got to go with the facts. And another thing, when I look at Terry since that money thing, I don't think Terry's really hurt as much as he say he is.
I don't think he's faking an injury.
You think he's faking? Well, Rick, why do you think he's faking it?
He's faking.
Why? Why would he fake it?
Rick, what's going on here?
He's got incentives. He could be winning.
To say F you to the team.
Let me say the reason why.
All right, go ahead.
Look, as workers, when we don't get a raise, sometimes you'd have been through the mud, the snow, and the rain, and all that.
This is the Chris Russell theory.
I felt that way.
Yeah.
You say this is all of a sudden you didn't get the promotion,
right,
or the raise that you thought you should. You say, hey, I ain't getting out the damn bed every morning through going through rain and snow and cold.
Tell me about it. It was raining this morning.
I didn't want to get out of bed. This is the Chris Russell theory.
I think Terry is thinking that way to say, you know, I think I've given my all to this team, not only, you know, professionally on the field, but off the field as well.
So he'd rather not play, have the fans turn on him, not get the incentives, not be a part of it, just miss it.
It's
just
an absurd
notion.
So he
gets a finger to
just
them?
How about think of the plays that he got hurt on? Think of the plays he got hurt on. He's laying his body on the line.
He's going 118%. Right. Rick's kind of
making
crazy.
An incredible catch.
Yeah. But you know
stretching
what?
His body.
That's how fans think. That's how some fans think.
Rick did have a good point about people being in their feels a little bit.
Well, that always happens.
And thinking maybe a little irrationally.
That always happens. I'm guilty of that 100%. Always. I'm always pro emotion. I'm an emotional person.
All right, 800-636-1067. You're welcome to call us on an open line Thursday. If you could go back in time, knowing what you know now about the way Terry's season has unfolded, would you have granted his trade request before the season started? 800-636-1067. We'll continue to take your calls. And don't forget, Demoris Smith, former executive director of the NFLPA, he'll join us coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.